Let's review. Week one, we started this series, One Shot, Parenting with a Purpose. I told you we get one shot per child to get it right. It's interesting wording there that I'm using. We get one shot per child. There are parents that they raise children differently. You raise one child different than you raise the other one. And they may get it right with one, but they may not get it right with the other one. And so you get one shot per child to get it right. There are no do-overs in this thing. I told you that Mandy and I have been, we've raised our children under conviction, our personal convictions. We have a desired outcome with our children, and we will not allow them to see or experience anything that we don't want them duplicating. And we've taught them to have their own personal convictions also. That first week we talked about BC, before children. And to lay the right foundation, we return back to the world before children in Genesis chapter 2, where Adam and Eve were one flesh, is what the Bible tells us. They succeeded together, they failed together because they were one flesh. And parents should never allow their children to come between them and their spouse. Don't let your child become the center of your universe. Don't let your child control your schedule. There's a divine order of relationships in your home, and you need to abide by that. If you want God to bless your home, you need to make sure it's God before anyone out, God before anyone else, spouse before kids, and kids before the world, and never put your child before your spouse. Some of you are still trying to let that sink in, but you'll get there, I promise you. Last week we talked about discipline. Proverbs 13 and 24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." I told you that the Bible clearly states that those who do not discipline their children are not loving their children. As a father and as a mother, you are called to discipline and train your children. We must train up our children so that they realize what a healthy relationship with their Savior looks like. Don't teach your children about discipline without also teaching them about reward, because that's what God did. God taught us that there's consequences for our sin, there's discipline, but then he also taught us there, through obedience, there's reward. And like a good father, God assures us through his word that the opposite of discipline is going to be reward in their life and or in our lives. Children who respect authority and realize that there are consequences for their bad behavior are more likely to believe in a Savior that is able to forgive them of their wrongdoing. There were these three school friends named Shut Up, Mind Your Own Business, and Trouble. And after school one day, they decided they were going to play hide and seek, and Trouble was it. He was it. He was elected, "You're it. You got to come find us." And so Shut Up and Mind Your Own Business, they went to hide, and they found this old abandoned car, and so they opened up the door. They hopped in the back of this car, but a police officer saw them get in the back of the car. And so the police officer came over, and he opened the back of the car, and he says, "State your names, please." And they answered, "Shut up and mind your own business." And so he looked at them. This time he's a little bit more stern with it, and he says, "What are your names, boys?" "Shut up and mind your own business." He said, "Are you boys looking for trouble?" To which they replied, "No, trouble is looking for us." Okay. Having been a youth pastor for 9 years, I've realized that Mandy and I have an advantage over most of you in the room. We do. I don't say that lightly. I believe that being a youth pastor for 9 years, I believe that we really do have an advantage over you guys, because through the years, I have watched parents make mistakes while raising their children. Does this make me an expert? No. I hope you guys don't think that we think we're experts on raising children. That's not it at all. It just means that I've been a student of parenting, and I've learned from other people's mistakes. And there's something to be said from that. You know, you've learned some mistakes from your parents. You've duplicated some of those. But then you've also learned from some of those mistakes so that you would not duplicate them. One area where even good Christian parents make the biggest mistakes is with whom they allow their children to hang out with. And let me tell you, this starts at a young age. Now, some of you are looking around the room. You're thinking, "My kid is in the nursery right now. Whose child are they with? You know, it starts at a young age. I mean, it's so vital. In elementary school, you've got to start noticing some of this. You've got to start seeing, because especially in a small town, small community, it's very likely that they are going to go up through school with these same friends. You've got to set standards for your family, and then you've got to teach your children to abide by those same standards. And so I'm going to let Mandy talk to you. Tell them what's up, girl.
I am one of those moms that I communicate and then I over-communicate with my kids, and I ask them every name of every kid that is in their class, and then I learn these kids, and then I ask them questions every day about those kids. And some people can say I'm a little anal, I hate to say that. They do think that I'm like that, but I don't think that you can be too much. And so even at a young age, Kendall was in the fourth grade here in Newberry. And kids listen even when you don't know they're listening. So we had had a few conversations in our house about who was running for president and stuff. And so there was this little boy in her class that had a crush on her. And so every day she'd come home and I would say, "Did so-and-so talk to you today?" And she's like, "No, Mama. Would you stop asking about him?" And I'm like, okay. And I wasn't pushing the relationship at all, but, you know, moms just ask those kind of questions. And so every day I would ask those kind of questions. "Did y'all play? Would you play on the playground with one another?" "No, Mama." I said, "Were you at least nice to him?" "Yes, ma'am." And so one day she came home and she was just very frustrated. And I said, "Did so-and-so talk to you today?" And she's like, "Mama, I cannot ever date him. I can't ever marry him. You know why?" I said, "Why?" She's like, "He's a Democrat." And I was like,
True story. Your child was created for social experiences. That's the way God designed each and every one of us. We're all created for social experiences. That's why God said in the beginning, in Genesis, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. We are created for social experiences. And your children will eventually find someone or some group of people that they will connect with. I promise you, that is going to happen. They're going to find a group of people or a group of friends that they will connect with. And as parents, we need to make sure that they are in an environment that is accountable. I battle with this today because that word has been on my mind since Monday afternoon for some reason. Accountability has just been on my heart and on my mind. I don't know if there's a sermon that's going to be birthed out of this, but we live in a day and age that we shun accountability. And your children need to be in an environment that is accountable and influences them in the right decision towards godly principles and towards the cross of Christ. Psalm 127 verses 3 and 4, and don't miss this. This is so important. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." Man, there's so much to be said about that particular scripture. And I think later on, I'm going to even bring some more out of that. But let me just talk to you about this part of it tonight. Your children are arrows. That's what God's word says about your children. Like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. Your children are arrows, and while under your roof, you are responsible for aiming them in the right direction. You need to learn to aim them toward the desired outcome that you want for their life. And maybe that's the question that you need to answer. What is the desired outcome that you have for your children? What does that look like? Just because they turn 18, it doesn't change one thing. Listen, my kids, next month, my children are going to be 18 years old. Our twins will be 18 years old. It's crazy. It's crazy because when I look back on pictures like this right here, I cannot believe that they are almost 18 years old. Isn't that crazy right there? I wasn't very happy that day. And listen, my children know, we have prepared them long before their 18th birthday that just because you turn 18 years old, it doesn't change one thing. As long as you're living under this roof, there are still rules, there are still consequences, there are still things that you have to abide by. Yeah, the curfew may get a little bit later, but that doesn't change the fact that we are still a godly home. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's not changing just because you turn 18. And as long as they live under your roof, you need to adopt that mentality in your home that you were responsible for their actions, that you are still responsible for aiming that arrow in the right direction towards that desired outcome that you want them to meet. The goal should never be just let me get them through school and then they'll be out of my hair. If that's the mentality that you have right now, that's bad parenting. It is. And you need to lose that mentality. You need to look at them that they are a heritage from the Lord. The Bible in one translation says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Well, my dad and my mom and dad, they had four kids, and Mandy and I have two, so ours is staying half full. Our quiver is half full. Yours is overflowing, but it's okay. We must aim them toward a relationship with Christ. Your job as a parent, like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, your job is to aim them towards a relationship with Christ. You've got to aim them towards being a responsible member of society. You've got to aim them to strive for success, and we must aim them to surround themselves with others that will help them reach those goals. And so the people that our children associate with, their close friendships, the ones that they consider in their inner circle, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Those people must strengthen their relationship with Christ. Those people must help them become a responsible member of society, and those people must encourage them to strive for success. In that order. Those are the three things that are the most important parts of friendships in their life, whether they know it or not. That's what we are striving for. And you get one shot as a parent of that particular child to aim them, to aim that arrow in the right direction. And I keep saying this over and over. That's why this series is called One Shot, because I want you to feel the weight of that. I want that to become a responsibility that you feel every day of your life. I've watched parents put their approval on friendships that have no eternal value for their child. And there's no emphasis in their life on the friendships that will last for eternity, or at least should last for eternity. There was a couple that I remember meeting with that they asked me specifically to pray for their daughter, that their daughter would love our church and would want to come to our youth ministry. So, man, I really did. I began praying, God, help this young lady. She needs some guidance, direction in her life. She needs some of these godly influences in her life. Help her. And so she started coming to the youth group. All of a sudden, mom and dad stopped coming to church on Wednesday nights. Now listen, I could put a guilt trip on some of you, because I know as soon as this series ends, you're not coming back on a Wednesday night. And I get it. I understand that. But listen to me. Their desired outcome was, we want our daughter to fall in love with this church and this youth ministry. And so the family's coming, daughter falls in love with the youth ministry, parents stop coming. And I just thought to myself, what's happening here? Maybe I should be praying for the parents more than I am the daughter. And as the daughter began to plug in and develop these new Christ-centered relationships, the mom began encouraging her daughter to concentrate less on church because it was hurting her popularity at school, and she was actually encouraging her to focus more on those friendships within the school. Listen to me, parents. You can't choose your kid, but you can choose your kid's friends. You have that right. No, you have that responsibility. You can't choose your kid. You can't. I mean, I would have traded Caleb a long time ago if I could. But no, I'm just kidding. You can't choose your friend, but you can choose your kid's friends. And you should choose your kid's friends. Youth pastors have used the phrase for years, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I want to revamp that a little bit tonight. I want to change it up a little bit for all of you parents in the room, and I want to say it like this. Show me your child's friends and I'll show you your child's future. I've been in this game way too long. I've watched as some of the best elementary age and middle school age kids that I've ever known. I mean, I would have bet the farm on them just maintaining a solid relationship with Christ. I have watched them go down a completely different path when they get to high school. What happened? And the only thing that changed was their friendships. That's it. That's the only thing that changed. They were still being raised in the same home. They still had the same brothers and sisters, the same siblings. They had the same mom and dad. They were still, you know, eating the same food, same groceries in the home, still drinking the same water. The only thing that changed was with whom they were hanging out with. That was it. And when those relationships changed, when parents allowed those relationships to change and did not foster and support the positive relationships that were in their life, that they went down a different path. I want Mandy to talk to you about a mistake that we made one time in parenting.
There was a family that had a child that was the same age as Caleb, and we got to know them. We thought pretty well, and they were attending church and sat underneath Rocky and listened to his messages. We thought they knew the rules and stuff, but I wasn't real clear on some of the rules. And one Sunday afternoon, they invited Caleb to go to the seafood festival with them in Cedar Key. And so we thought, sure, why not? We've known him for a few months, and you know, Caleb didn't have a cell phone or anything back then, so we entrusted our child into the care of this family. And it was a long day, and he didn't get home till like 6:30, 7 o'clock. And so in talking to Caleb in the next few days, he shared with us that the dad had a couple of beers, and then he got behind the wheel of a car and drove me home. And that bothered Rocky and I so bad that we dropped the ball. First, that we did not let these parents know that if you drink, please don't get behind the wheel of a car and put my child's life in jeopardy. I know some of you may feel a couple of beers is not bad, but you never know how your judgment's going to be impaired, and that was a life that I loved that was in that car. Thankfully, the Lord protected my child, but we really felt like we did not use our parenting skills and the responsibility laid back on us, not on my son. I'm glad he shared it with us, and we never really talked about it with this other family, but we learned a lesson that we would never, ever let our children go with someone we thought that we could trust. We had to know that we know that we know.
Again, you have to remember, we have a desired outcome of how we want our children, the path that we want them to go down. And so it might not be a big deal to you, but to us, that was a standard that we were not willing to cross. And we dropped the ball. We did not follow through with that. And we should have. We should have known what we were putting our child in. I see that young man from time to time, the friend of Caleb's. And he's a typical high school student. He makes good grades. He's polite to adults. From what I understand, he has a little bit of a potty mouth, if not quite a big potty mouth. He and his friends, they like to drink a little. He's a typical high school student. I want that to sink in. I want you to understand what I'm saying. He is a typical high school student. One of the worst things that I hear come out of parents' mouths. You know teenagers. I was a teenager. You know teenagers, oh, they're going to do certain things. Listen, just because you did it doesn't mean that your child has to do it. Just because you did it and you lived and you got away with it doesn't mean that you have to allow your children to go through that. You can do your very best to protect them from making some of the same mistakes that you did. Typical high school student. And that's where too many of us mess up. Stop accepting status quo for your kids, because God has not called your kids to be average. And so many of you are okay with that. You're okay with your kids being average. Don't be okay with status quo. Don't be okay with that. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't be average. Do not be like everybody else. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If we would not have chosen to set a standard for our son and to discourage that friendship, which I'm telling you, We did. We didn't look at him and say, you can't be friends with him anymore. We did look at him and say, you're not going to be going anywhere with that family anymore. You need to understand that. We made sure that we did not allow him to go anywhere with them again. That wasn't an option for us. And if we would not have discouraged that friendship, we probably would have an average son right now. We would. Now, you might look at my son and say, he's pretty average. Not in our eyes. We think he's above average. Is he perfect? No. No, he's not perfect. But I'm not happy with us settling for status quo with our children. When God's called them to be so much more. Average children, they grow up and they struggle with alcoholism. Average children, they have premarital sex. Average children marry average people and then they go and get average divorces because the averages are that over 50% of marriages fail in our nation. That's average. Average children get through high school and they hardly ever accomplish anything for the kingdom while they're in high school. Listen, I'm not just preparing my kids to be a Christian out of high school. I'm wanting them to serve the kingdom of God while they're in high school. That's above average to me. That's what I want for their lives, and I believe that's what God wants for their lives. God wants to help your children make wise choices about the people that they let into their lives. But left up to your children, they will never make the right decisions. They won't. They're not there yet. You know what's right and what's wrong. Your kids are still naive. My almost 18-year-old twins are naive when it comes to certain things. And I've got to be that mighty warrior, and they are the arrows in my hand, and it's my job to aim them towards that desired goal. I've got to do that. I'm the one that has to do that. Mandy is the one that has to do that. And so God wants to help them make wise choices about the people that they let into their lives. But I can tell you this, he's going to use us as parents to help them make those decisions. God will bless them through the people that he sends into their life. But don't be fooled. Satan will hurt them through the people that he sends into their life. He will get them off target. He will get them off track. Satan is trying right now to come up with a scheme or a plan that is going to get your kids off of God's will for their life. He's trying right now. One of my biggest goals as a youth pastor was I need to keep these kids from making life-altering decisions that's going to make it harder for them to serve God when they get older. Well, that was a goal as a youth pastor. For me as a parent, not only am I responsible for that and that I need to make sure they don't make life-altering decisions that's going to make it harder for them to serve God later on, but I want them serving God right now. I want them making a difference in their world around them right now. And the wrong friendships can ruin that. And Scripture warns us over and over. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So you may have great morals in your home. You may be teaching them all that they need to know, but if you are not helping them surround themselves with the right people, the Bible says that bad company ruins good morals. Proverbs 13 and 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 12 and 26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. God's word invests into us, and it tells us over and over and over again, be careful on who you associate with. Let's talk about dating. I mean, I know I'm dealing with all kinds of ages here with your children, but let's talk about dating. I think it's something that we need to talk about. Because we're in a day and age that we've started focusing on things that we would not have to focus on if we kept godly standards in our homes. Listen to me. The decision should not be whether or not to put your daughter on birth control. That's not the decision. Listen to me, parents. It's not the decision. That should not even be the topic of discussion in your home. The answer is no. Don't put her on birth control. Don't. If you think that you're doing her a favor by putting her on birth control so that she won't get pregnant, you've absolutely got the wrong focus on what you need to be focused on. The decision should be, who is she allowed to date while living under my roof? That's the decision, and that goes for your son too. I've publicly stated that any young men that may be interested in dating my daughter should have a relationship with Jesus Christ first. Nobody has stepped up and taken that offer. And as long as she lives under my roof, she will only date young men that exemplify a Christ-like character, because her father lives a life that is characterized by my Christian walk. And if you don't share that same value, then all those young men just need to keep on driving by my house. We have never set an age for dating in our home. We've never set an age for dating. We've never said, oh, you've got to be 16 or you've got to be 18. Or we've never said that. I mean, if that was the case, I would have said 25. But we've never done that. We've never said, here's the age before you can date. You know, if they don't have those godly standards in their life, then they have no business being around my daughter. And I know that may be somebody's son that they're praying for and that kind of thing. But dating evangelism hardly ever works. And that's not what we are striving for our daughter. That's not what we want for her. And they're going to eventually find a girl that her parents don't care. But I've got only one chance to be Kendall's father. That's it. And I'm going to get it right. And I'm going to make sure that while she's under my roof, whoever takes her out on a date is going to be a Christian young man that has those godly standards in his life. And she hasn't dated anyone yet. And I'll tell you this, more than it is me, Kendall's picky. Kendall is. She's got a desired goal of what she's looking for in a man. And no one has met those standards yet. Don't blame the boys. I mean, they have a high standard to live up to, you know? My son is currently dating, and anyone that knows his girlfriend knows that she's strong in her faith, because the same rules apply for him. Son, if you're going to date a girl, then she needs to be a godly young lady. She needs to have respect for herself. She needs to have respect for others, and she needs to love Jesus Christ with all of her heart. And that's what we prayed for. And whether or not they last or not, that's irrelevant. We've taught our kids not to date anyone that they would not consider marrying. And that scares some of you. And the reason it scares you is because I just said the word marriage. Trust me, Mandy and I, we're not ready to get rid of our kids. We're not ready for them to get married. But we've taught them from the beginning, don't even consider dating anyone that you would not consider marrying. The Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And so we've taught our kids, guard your heart. Parents, let me ask you something. Why would you approve them dating someone who doesn't have the same Christian values as you and your family? Why would you do that and allow them to open their heart up to possible heartache and pain? Why would we do that? Why would we allow them to go into a struggle? Marriage is tough enough. I mean, let's just be honest with each other. Marriage is work sometimes. It's worth working for. I don't regret a day of it. But I'm telling you right now, well, I don't regret most days of it. But no, it's worth it. But it's work, man. There are some tough days in marriage. Why am I going to allow them to open their heart up to an unbeliever? It's not about dating evangelism. Don't think. And here's what I hear parents. Well, you know, they're going to bring them to church. And I was a youth pastor for 9 years, guys. It doesn't work that way. Very seldom does it work that way. Hardly ever does it work that way. We've got to protect our children. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Let me read it to you. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? I've taught this before, but I'm going to take a moment to teach it again, because I think this is so important. And for you to understand what Paul is saying when he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, the yoke is the piece of wood that goes across the back of two oxen. And it attaches them to the plow. And so when Paul is saying don't be unequally yoked, he's saying when you spiritually are yoked to another person, when you are joined together with another person, they need to be the same size spiritually. It wouldn't work if you were to hook an ox and a goat up to the plow. They're yoked together, and it wouldn't work, because what would happen is that ox would always outpull that goat, and what's going to happen is they're going to sit there and go in circles, and they're never going to gain ground. And that's what happens spiritually to these marriages when they're unequally yoked. Now listen, if you're unequally yoked in your marriage, I am not giving you permission to walk away from that marriage. As a matter of fact, there are strict guidelines on the only way that you can get out of that marriage. And this is not about marriage tonight, so I'm not going there, but I need you to understand that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about before marriage. Making sure that your spiritual ox of a kid is yoked together with another spiritual ox, someone that is on the same playing field that they are, so that they can grow together in Christ. And that's the only way you're going to plow that field of marriage. That's the only way that it works. And any relationship that pulls your child away from God, it's a distraction for their life. And I'll say this to you, any relationship that pulls you away from God is a distraction for your life. Part of the reason why some of your children are making poor decisions on friendships is because of your poor decisions on friendships. We'll get into that next week. A distraction from what God has planned for your children can be some of the relationships that they're in right now. If you think that this is hard parenting, please understand this about my children and about our children. Please don't miss this. Christ is not part of my kids' lives. Christ is not part of my kids' lives. He is their life. He's not part of it. He is their life. We are teaching our children that every decision you make for the rest of your life has to be filtered through godly standards, because Christ is your life. And there's nothing, there's no other way around it. There's no detours around that. You have a desired outcome for your life. We have a desired outcome. God has a desired outcome. And that's what we are going to filter every decision, from friendships to jobs to whatever it is that comes your way, to where you attend school. Man, wait till you get there, parents. That's where we're at right now, trying to help our children determine where they're going to go to college. But that has to be filtered through that funnel. It has to come through the filter of godly standards for their lives. You see, for our family, church is not something that we do on Sundays and Wednesdays just to kill time. Church is something that we are on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's who we are. And for our home, there is no other option. My wife and kids know that we are part of the body of Christ, and we are called to live our lives as such. We're not perfect, but that doesn't give us an excuse not to strive for perfection. Have we reached it yet? No. Please understand me. I'm not saying we're perfect, but I'm tired of parents making up excuses on why your home's not perfect. Man, let's repent for it, and let's start moving forward, and let's try and fix some things today that we didn't get right yesterday, because every day we have an opportunity to grow more and more and become more and more like Christ. Now, I want to go ahead and I want to disarm the critic, because I'm running out of time and I want to make sure I cover this. I want to disarm the critic right now, because I know what some of you are thinking. I can hear you. But Jesus was a friend of sinners. Why can't my child be a friend of sinners? Now, I need you to understand this about us. My children have friends, acquaintances, that don't believe exactly what they believe. Matter of fact, they sit at the lunch table with them from time to time. I understand they come in contact with people that are not of the same belief system that we are. They don't have the same worldview that we do. We don't ask them to shun them. When I talk about their inner circle, I'm talking about the people they hang out with, the people that they date, the people that are part of that close circle of friends. That's what I'm talking about. But if that's your concern, but Jesus was a friend of sinners, I agree with you. But Jesus was God, and your sweet little kid is not. Trust me, your kid is not God. And until they are spiritually strong enough to fight temptation, do not allow them to have those close friendships. We've made sure that our children have three types of friendships in their lives. And this is intentional. And so if you want to take notes on this, make sure. And a matter of fact, you need to have this in your life too. The first friendship that we want them to have in their life is probably one of the most important friendships that they could have, is people that they look up to. This is vital for us, and we've intentionally put people around our children that they can look up to. Growing up, I remember a few people that God put in my life to influence me in a positive direction. I also know some people that Satan put in my life to influence me in a negative direction, but I just want to talk about those that God put in my life. I remember Bobby and Karen Wiggins. They had a couple of young boys, and when I was about 13, 14 years old, they would call me, "You want to go out to eat?" I'd go out to eat with them sometimes. I remember I went to my very first Harlem Globetrotters basketball game with Bobby and Karen. Karen has since passed away of cancer. A few years ago, Bobby found me on Facebook. Man, I'm telling you, those people made such a difference in my life. I think about people like Wayne and Shirley Schinholzer. Man, such a positive influence in my life. They cared. They still care. Shirley, to this day, still calls me, "Hey, my little one." That's what she calls me. And I always go by her, and I'll see her at her funeral or something. I'll go by her, and I do this thing. Hear that? I do that with my fingers, and I'll come up behind her, and I'll do that in her ear. And Shirley, and she'll say, "Rocky!" It's just a little thing. But, man, I'm telling you, much older than me, but, man, they loved me. They loved me. When my brothers were all living lives that I had no business being around, my parents should have just absolutely just forbid me to even be near my brothers because of the influence they had over me. A youth pastor that I looked up to was that older brother that I didn't have. That was a positive influence on my life. And I'm preaching God's word today because of that man, someone that I could look up to. We have strong young adults in our church. Some of you are in this room right now. Mandy and I have made sure to surround our kids with these wonderful Christian influences, people that they can look up to. And these are people that, for some weird reason, my kids like hanging out with them because they're people that truly care about them. The second group of friendships is people that they can look to. Because let's be honest, sometimes you just need to be around someone that is going through the same things that you are going through. Someone around the same age. I have pastor friends that even today I talked to. Actually today I talked with a pastor friend and shared with him some things that I'm facing right now in ministry. And I was able to talk with him, and he was able to sow into my life today, and vice versa. He shared with me some things, and I was able to sow into his life today. But man, let me tell you, I know my kids need that too. And so Mandy and I have supported those positive friendships and made sure our kids knew you need those that you can look to. You need those that you look up to. You need those that you can look to, that you're on a level playing field with them. And man, I could start naming them, and some of them are your kids, and I would leave somebody out. But man, I'm telling you, I thank God that they have people that they can look to. And this is a challenging chore if your child is not involved in our church's youth ministry. When they reach that age of middle school and high school, I'm telling you, this gets harder if they're not involved in the church's youth ministry. It is there that they connect with other students that love the Lord. And that is a vital part of our kids. One of the hardest things for us moving here to start Destiny Community Church was that we knew the church, we knew the ministries that we were leaving in Tampa, and one of the hardest things for us was thinking about our kids, thinking, man, we're about to pull them out of a dynamic children's ministry, and I was in charge of the youth ministry there for years, and so I knew what kind of youth ministry they had, and I just thought, what are we getting our kids into? I mean, we came here, and there was none of that. There was no children's ministry. There was no youth ministry. It became a priority for us. Now listen, I'm going to let you in on a secret. The first full-time staff hire I made was a youth pastor. And it's one of the most selfish decisions I've ever made since pastoring this church, because I knew that my kids were one day going to be in that youth ministry, and I wanted it thriving. I wanted there to be other kids that love Jesus Christ, people that they could look to. And so if I wanted that for our kids, why wouldn't you want that for your kids? We've already done the hard work. Get them here. Let's move on. The third group of friends that they need. And I want you to listen close, because you're going to write this down. Some of you, you're going to write this down, and you're not going to hear anything else I say, but please listen close to me. People that look up to them. People that look up to them. I'm going to let Mandy talk about this just for a moment, and then I'm going to finish it up.
I remember taking Kendall to the Family Christian bookstore many times, and she would look at girls' devotion books, and she would be like, "Mommy, I want to do a girls' devotion. I want to start a group." And I would always encourage that, and I'm like, "Kendall, there will be girls that want to look up to you, and you'll be able to pour your life into them." And so she prepared. It wasn't that the next day we started this girls' group. She would buy these books, and she would prepare. And I see things coming to her now, that there's so many young girls that are 14, 15 years of age that she has been able to pour into, and she's been able to tell them, "Hey, I did this, but I might have should have done it this way." And they're looking up to her, and it's not that it's just she's over them, but she's forming lifelong relationships with them. Just this past week, Kendall got a Facebook message, and she shared it with me, and she said, "Mom, it's a girl that was in kids' church with me when we first come here, and she just turned 18, and she sent Kendall a message just asking for some help. And she had come and visited the youth group a few times, and I had a chance to sit down and talk with Kendall, because she's like, "What do I say? I don't know what to say, Mom." And I said, "The Lord will use you, and He has brought you to her remembrance for a reason. It's because your light has shined since you were a little girl, and she knows that you're the real deal. You don't live it one way at church and another way at school. You're the same across the board all the time. And because you have accepted this calling on your life to be able to minister to others, it's a cry for help. And so you're going to have to be there for her." And I'm able to walk her through that, because even at almost 18, she don't know everything to say to this young girl. But I was so grateful that you never know if you're getting it right or not, but you wanted your kids to be consistent. And this girl seen that in Kendall. And when she could have looked for all other areas in life to reach to, she's reaching out to Kendall. And that means that something was done right a long time ago. And I see Caleb in the last year, he's been able to be asked to mentor a young boy. And, you know, some people would say, "Oh, he's just babysitting." No, he pours into this kid. He meets with him once a week, and they meet for like 2 hours. And sometimes they'll take him to go get ice cream at Dairy Queen. Sometimes they'll play basketball, and then they'll sit and they'll talk about the real things of life. And I just see that the things that we have taught them from an early age, that they're coming to pass, and these are dreams that I had for my child. And Kendall has felt like she's been called to ministry from a young age. And I see that he has given her these opportunities that she's going to be able to teach on when she is a minister to kids one day. And although Caleb is quiet and he never sees himself out front and being able to minister to others, he's doing it one-on-one. And that stuff is important too. He may not ever be on the platform like his dad is, or maybe he will, but he's doing that one-on-one stuff, and that makes my heart happy.
Everybody influences somebody, or they get influenced. That's the way it works. Everybody influences somebody, or they get influenced. How they are influenced is a different story. Those influences can be positive or they can be negative. And until your child reaches a level of spiritual maturity, they may not be ready for these friendships that I'm talking about, of people that look up to them. And this is so important, because I don't want you to put your child in a place that they're not ready to be. 3 years ago, my son would come home and tell me about a young man that would consistently use foul language at the lunch table. And the reason I very reluctantly tell you this is because his mama's sitting on the front row. No, he would come home and Caleb would say, "Dad, there's something about this kid. There's something about him." And I said, "Son, I mean, are you praying for him?" He would say, "Yeah, I'm praying for him." And I'd say, "Okay, keep trying. And the next year, this young man tried out for a basketball team, and then I was able to be a part of his life. And before you knew it, we were picking him up, taking him to play basketball with us and dropping him off on Thursday nights, and we were just playing some street ball. And then the next thing I know, he's coming over to our house on Wednesdays after school, and he's, you know, sitting around our house and watching TV and doing his homework and that kind of stuff at our house. And then next thing I know, his mama's coming to church and all that. And it's one of those things that I knew God had prepared Caleb for that moment of, okay, I'm going to put this young man in your life, and together you're going to form this friendship. And I'll tell you, man, those two boys, they are inseparable. I'm so proud of both of them and what they are accomplishing. Marcus is a vital part of our youth ministry. And he, I mean, was part of our drama team that you know, went to international competition this year. And I thank God that somehow, some way, God led them to be in that relationship with each other. And yeah, at first it may have been Marcus kind of looking up to Caleb spiritually and that kind of thing. But man, I'm telling you, it's iron sharpens iron. God has allowed those two young men to really sow into each other's lives. And I'll tell you this, they'd take a bullet for each other. I believe that. I believe they would. I believe, I know this, if it ever happens, and I pray it doesn't, but if somebody goes after the other one on the basketball court here in their senior year, I'm going to have a problem, because I'm afraid the other one's going to go out there to try and defend the other one, and I'm going to have to beat both of them is what's going to happen. They've got to have those people that they look up to. They've got to have those people that they look to, and they've got to have those people that look up to them. And that whole situation with Caleb and Marcus, I'll tell you, it makes me more proud of that situation than if my son was to average 30 points a game and get a Division I basketball scholarship. I would gladly trade that for the relationship that he has with Marcus, because it's godly. Discipline your children to be a discipler. Not just a disciple, a discipler. Someone that's willing to go out there and invest in someone else's life. When Christ ate with sinners, the sole purpose was to bring them into the kingdom of God. Not just to go out and get drunk. Not just to go out and look at girls. There was a purpose. There was a goal behind it. And this should be our goals as parents. We've got to sow into our kids and make sure that they realize that they need these relationships in their lives. But I'm telling you, parents, be careful on that third and final one. Don't put your kids out there in the line of fire too soon. Make sure they've got the other two. Someone that they can look up to, someone that they can look to, and then God will send them eventually someone that can look up to them. And so let me give you an update. You ready? I got home the other day, and the trash can was right up beside the garage where it was supposed to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for teaching us as parents how to be mindful of the associations, the friendships, the acquaintances, Lord, that our children have. Lord, maybe for some of these parents, this is so foreign to them. God, we're not asking them to go out and teach their children to shun the world. No, Lord, that's not it at all. Lord, we do need to teach our children to focus on the relationships that are going to strengthen them for eternity. Help us, Lord. Help us with that. Help us with our kids that are at a young age, Lord, that they would build those right friendships. Lord, I pray that you would prepare all of the children, that their parents represent them in this room tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would give them someone to look up to. Send them godly influences, mentors into their lives. God, I thank you for the mentors and the influences that you have sent into our children's lives. Lord, God, I pray that you'll surround their children with friends that they can look to. Children that have the same convictions, Lord, that they have the same worldview and the relationship with Jesus Christ. Send that into their lives. And Lord, when their hearts are ready and they're spiritually mature enough to handle it, I pray that you'll send someone that looks up to them. And God, I pray that you bless these homes that are represented, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.